Go ahead and be seated. The men of valor will be shortly putting notes in your hands so that you can keep up with the flow of the message today, entitled The Word and Word of Mouth. There is the Word, and then there is the Word of Mouth. In the Word of God, we find references to both. The Word is always there on the page, but when it becomes the Word of Mouth, power is released.
Yes.
You have the ability to speak the Word of God and expect the same results that occurred when our Lord and Redeemer spoke the Word of God. Many people wish that they could have been around when Jesus was manifest in the earth. He is manifest every time you speak His promises. I was talking with an individual this week who said that he got together with a group of friends and they were all gathered together in Jesus' name, and Jesus didn't show up. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, but in my name does not mean, okay, everybody, we're here in Jesus' name. Number one, his name was never Jesus. It was Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua meaning Redeemer, HaMashiach, Anointed of God. He was the Anointed Redeemer of God. There are people that will fight you to the death for the right to use the name of Jesus. God winks at ignorance. Pastor, I like the name Jesus better than I do Yeshua. Well, that's fine, but the angel said to Mary, you should call his name Yeshua, Redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. Not Jesus, for he shall Jesus people from their sins. Jesus was a term made up, but he is still Redeemer.
Yes, come on. Amen.
And when you begin to talk about him as Redeemer and not just Jesus, because a lot of people act like Friday they go, well, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus was his first name. Christ was his last name. No, he was the Anointed Redeemer. And when you talk about him that way, you see life through a different paradigm. The Word of God is powerful, even to the dividing of mind and spirit. The Word of God will divide your mind and your spirit because your mind is thinking one thing and your spirit is leaping to obey and align with the Word of God. So it separates them and it pierces even to the bone and the marrow, meaning they're the most intimate area of your life. The life-giving bone marrow. The Word of God gets in there and energizes it, infuses it, and changes it. A number of years ago, I was on a panel on a TV program, and the question came up about sin and what was the most telltale thing about sin. And I said, all sin is selfish. Without selfishness, there is no sin. But as I was preparing for the message today, the Lord also further, he reminded me of that and he says, but take it a step further. There is no unbelief without selfishness. And I had to stop for a second, and I said, okay, Lord, might need a little bit of clarification there. And he said, it begins when you exalt your opinion over God said. All unbelief is selfish. Well, I don't believe God because I was praying for my sister to get well and she died. I was praying for a job and I didn't get it. I was praying for a raise and it didn't happen. Well, break it down. The reason you don't believe God is you didn't get something you wanted. And it was your selfishness that divided you from God. At some point or another, you've got to get you out of the picture. Because you can separate yourself from the blessings of God through just deciding what you think is real and what you think is not real. You can become the arbitrator of intelligence and say, well, because this group did this and that group did that, it proves God is not God. It doesn't matter what a group of people or a sect of people or a religion did. It doesn't affect who God is. And just because someone claims to be of God, we have all known people who were not. I don't measure God by what some preacher did, what some group did, or what some religion did. I submit to God because of what He said. And when what He said becomes more important to me than what I believe will come under what God said. But as long as I insist on holding out that my opinion, my feelings, my thoughts are higher than God, then I have, in my own eyes, become God. Because by my opinion, I am judging the God of all creation, the God of all the universe. Therefore, I return and say, all sin is selfish, all unbelief is selfish, because it is only possible not to believe when you put self and self-knowledge or opinion above what God said. Since 07, when I had a massive heart attack and went on that quintuple bypass diet and lost 100 pounds and began to deal with, God said, with the stripes I was healed, and the doctor said I couldn't live. That if I did live, I'd never walk or talk again. And I've had opportunity presented by well-meaning people, well, why hasn't God? And I have to remind them that God did 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Now, the package may have been delayed in delivery, but my healing was bought and paid for 2,000 years ago, and it is en route to me. Amen. And I'm waiting for the full manifestation, but I am walking. I am talking. I did live. And overcame lung failure, heart failure, kidney failure. Overcame crippled feet. Overcame a 29-day coma. Overcame 3 open heart surgeries. And then the bills began to pour in. Almost $3 million in bills. The hospital said, well, you don't have insurance. We will reduce that hospital stay by 40%. You see, they always pad it for insurance. But it was still over $2 million for everything after the reductions and discounts. And I began to make another confession. Not only by His stripes I was healed, my God supplies all of my needs. And without sending out an appeal letter, without asking anyone for a dime, any individual, all my bills were paid in full. Not written off as a bad debt that we couldn't pay, paid in full. The doctors were paid, the hospitals were paid, the pharmacy was paid, radiology was paid, everybody was paid. Because God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And if I look at myself right now and go, my new heart hadn't fully manifested yet. My arteries haven't fully cleared of obstruction. I can begin to look at what I don't have and forget what I do. Pastor, what does that have to do with the Word of God? When I begin to look at what I don't have, I will not look at my God supplies all of my need. When I begin to look at how I feel, I won't look at with His stripes I was made whole. There comes a time in your life where you have to make a decision that my new covenant is the ultimate authority for everything in my life. Whether I see it, feel it, embrace it, hold it in my hands yet or not, it belongs to me. And if I do not give up on it, it will come to me. Amen. Do you believe the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and entered the promised land and got the orchards they didn't plant, crops they didn't tend, houses they didn't build, cities they didn't erect? All of that came to them with servants to take care of it for them. And they said, well, this would have been nice 40 years ago, but it's too late now. Just because I don't see today everything I want to see doesn't mean it's not on the way. By faith, you overcome. By faith, you prevail. And faith is not something you work up on your own. A lot of people try and tell you that believing is synonymous with faith. Believing has as much to do with faith as training wheels do to riding a bicycle. It's a starting point that you get beyond. There is a word that's synonymous with faith, and that word is trust. Trust is not, faith is not just about believing God. Faith is about trusting God. And until you trust God, you're not really in faith. Do you trust Him with your health, with your wealth, with your future, with your children, with your mate? Do you trust God with your bills? On the 41st of the month, when they're screaming at you, they haven't been paid. If you do, they will be. And there won't be any late charges. Because your God makes a way where there seems to be no way. But it is that trust in His promises that every word of that new covenant I can trust. Because it's promises to me that God wanted me to enjoy in this life. Right. So many people are waiting for heaven to be victorious, waiting for heaven to experience life in its fullness. I am in the nasty now and now, and I'm experiencing the blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow. My God does supply all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. I have seen God do too many things for me to ever doubt Him. Trust. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, anointed Redeemer, is the same yesterday and today and forever. There is no time in time where Messiah was any more real than he is right now. There is no time where he was able to do things that he can't do anymore. The same, I've underlined that line for you. Yeshua, Redeemer, Anointed of God, is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. He is changeless. He is the same healer, the same Savior, the same provider, the same lawyer or advocate, brother, fellow heir, Lord, King, as he ever was. Well, Pastor, it was different when he was walking the earth. No. There was less faith in the earth when he was walking the earth than there is now. Because they didn't have to trust what they couldn't see. They could see him. They could touch him. They could relate to, that's him. There he's walking right now. So faith was at a lower ebb because they were in the seeing as believing. We're seeing the miracles. We're hearing the sermons. We're believing because we're experiencing. Today you believe because God can't lie. You believe because you trust Him. If you only believe God because you see Him heal somebody, provide something, do something, then it will be easy for you to not believe Him when it doesn't happen, Johnny, on the spot. There is no faith in what God did for Sister Smith. I thank God for her testimony. I can be encouraged by her testimony. I can be infused with new levels of appreciation for God by her testimony. But it doesn't cause me to believe God anymore. I have to believe God because of His Word. I know you're beginning to get the message that today's message is about the Word only. Sola Scriptura. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. The reason you are able to be alive today is because I don't change. And Psalms 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. 18 verses later, there's a verse that is life-changing. He sent His Word and healed them and redeemed them from all of their captivity, destructions, and pits. Now that He has sent His Word and healed you and redeemed you from your destruction, you must say, I am redeemed. Well, Pastor, is it sufficient that it's in the Bible? No. Until the Bible is in your mouth, it's not your word. There is no actual faith in quoting God. Well, God said, with His stripes I was healed. There's no faith in that. Faith comes when God's word becomes your word, and you say, with His stripes I was healed. Therefore, I'm the healed of the Lord, and this lie of sickness is leaving my body. I say that often. Well, Pastor, shouldn't it have happened already? That's not my department. My department is to say so, to speak the word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word translated destructions there is also translated pits. Now, I like that word because many people find that their life is the pits. The cherry is gone and all that's left is... But he delivered me from the pits. So I've got lots of cherry. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion, not a member of the household of faith, not an Israelite, said, "Say the word and my servant will live." Well, wasn't Isaiah 53 available then? Yes, Isaiah 53, a prophetic revelation of, "With his stripes you were healed." It was available, but it was words on a page. It wasn't spoken through a mouth. And the centurion recognized, I've got a Bible, I can read it, but I need someone with the authority to say it. Because you're the redeemed of the Lord, because you're an heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus, you have the right to speak His word just as He spoke it and expect the same results. If you trust Him and His promises. The centurion was not peeking, he was speaking. Little misprint there. The centurion speaking to the Word incarnate. He was talking to the Word incarnate, the Word walking and talking, the Word that the Father sent. And he said, "Give voice to the Word, and my servant will live." Do we today view the Word of God as a life-giving source? If His word is in your mouth, your situations are in flight. Amen. If His word is in your mouth, your situations are in flight. They will flee from you because they can't stand where the word of God is established. And what the centurion was saying, my servant's dying. Establish the word on his behalf. Speak it. And when our Lord spoke the word, his servant lived. Therefore, when you speak the word, people can live. Bills can be paid. Crises can be averted. David, even under the old covenant, under the law, recognized that the word of God was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. You know what that means. David said, your word is a definer or illuminator of where I am in this life path. And your word is a revealer of where I am to go. It is my life walk map. Has the Word of God become that real to you that it shows you where you are and where you should go? Too many people read the Bible and do not ingest the truth of God. They read stories. They read occurrences. They read things that happened long ago. But our God is a happening God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you read on that page is available today. If it's New Covenant. David later would say, your word is settled in heaven forever. Your faithfulness is unto all generations, no matter how many comes. What David was saying is, in the eternal court of the universe, the throne room of God, your word is settled. No changes, no revisions, no update. It stands forever. Yes. Do you recognize God's word? Or is there still cause for doubt and unbelief? Why is it different in the earth? It was settled in heaven. Because on earth, we haven't established it. In heaven, every angel, every cherubim, every being is one with the Word of God. All of those who weren't one with the Word of God have been removed. Do you today see God's Word as changeless? And by changeless, I mean it'll do today what it would do 2,000 years ago. Do you recognize that God stressed the importance of the fact that Yeshua came as a man? He was not the Son of God. From his being placed in the womb of Mary to his resurrection, he walked as a man, not as the Son of God. Now, in torment and in hell, God would say, again, you find Hebrews recorded, again thou shalt be unto me a son. And on that word again, the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, and he was once again a son of God. But between Mary's womb and the tomb, he was a man, subject to like infirmities and frailties as are we. Why? God did it to show you what the Word could do, would do, and should do if you trust it. In the garden, Yeshua portrayed the ultimate trust when he said, this ain't what I want. This ain't what I like. And this ain't the way I'd like it to be. But not my will, but your will be done. Ultimate trust that would see him through the trial, the beatings, the whippings, the crucifixion, through death of the tomb, through 3 days in hell. Because he died in faith, he was resurrected in victory. It's true today, in any situation I'll allow me to die in, he can bring the victory. But as long as I am holding on to my opinion of how it should be done, when it should be done, what should be done, and the way it should occur, I prevent God from acting in my behalf. Because God responds to his word. Most people walk their Christian walk and never pray. I don't mean they don't say words aimed at God, but they don't pray. Their prayer life consists of telling God what they want, what they need, and what he should do. Real prayer returns God's word to him. Yeah. So instead of saying, God, I'm sick and I hurt and I'm tired of hurting, and when are you going to do something about this? We go, Father, I come to return your word to you. Your word says, with his stripes I was healed. I believe your word. I receive your word. Therefore, this lie has to leave me. Real prayer can only begin with it is written. If you're not returning God's word to him, you're not really praying. But Pastor, I've got a special need. It's not that special because he said there are exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might become partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? To speak God's word into a situation. You take those promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that apply to everything that applies to life and godliness, and you can get whatever you need from God by returning his word to him. But on earth, people in pride, people in arrogance, people in self-importance are still judging God by their viewpoint. For David, the word of God was settled. That's it, God. I'll face Goliath. I'll face anything because your word will see me through. The centurion, the word was settled. Just speak it. Give voice to that word so it can activate. For the three Hebrew children, the word was settled. King, if you throw us into the fire, or if you don't throw us into the fire, we ain't changing. Our God is God, and He will protect us and see us safely through. And they walked out the other side, and the only thing the flames burnt was the ropes that were binding them. Because they elevated the word of God, God showed up in the fire with them, the fourth man. Because we had two or three gathered, and he was in their midst. Not everybody saw him, but the one who needed to did. And a kingdom was changed because he saw God show up in response to faith. Whatever the fiery furnace is in your life, if you enter it in faith, you'll come out of it in victory. And you won't even smell a smoke. Even foot in the mouth, Peter said, I know what experience has shown me. I know how my situation looks in the natural. But at your word, I'll ignore both and I'll let down the nets. Peter gets a lot of ridicule by people who like to judge rednecks. Peter was a redneck of his day. And he did shoot off his mouth before he thought. But he also gave glory to God. God, I know how to fish. I know when they're biting and when they're not biting. I know what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. But I'll put aside my knowledge, understanding, and ability, and at your word, I'll do what you said. Do we have the faith of this redneck to set aside what we know, what we see, what we feel, and just because God said it, align with it and come under it? Real faith, trust in God, begins with submission to God's word. Pastor, why don't we have miracles today like there used to be? Because people don't step out on the word like they used to. James 1:22, we must be doers of the word and not just ones who hear the word. James 1:23, what do you see when you look into the mirror of the word? What do you see when you look into the mirror of the word? When I hold up the mirror of the word and I look into it, it says, with his stripes you were healed. Will I conform to that? I came out of the shower this morning and was drying off, and my hair was going in all kinds of directions. If you're wondering what happened to me, I went to a new barber this week, and I said, I want just a slight graduation on the side. I have to take my glasses off when they're working. She slightly graduated all the way up, and I feel like a scalded rabbit today because I've been sheared. But I looked in the mirror and hair is like this. And I knew I could take authority over it. And I could bring it into submission. And it wouldn't be so terribly bad. Just mostly bad. Never trust a barber with blue hair. Yes, the barber had blue hair. Matched her tattoos. But I looked in the mirror, and by looking into the mirror, I could adjust this image to where that image got better. Are you listening, church? And when I look into this mirror, and I see with his stripes I was healed, then I can adjust this to align with that. When I look into this and it says, but your God, if you're a tither and giver, shall supply all of your needs according to the living standard of heaven, then I can adjust this to align with what I'm seeing. We are well practiced at walking to the mirror and adjusting this to where that looks better. Are we that well practiced at looking into this mirror and adjusting this so it looks like that? The word implanted in us will produce the word's work through us. When I allow the word to be engrafted into my thought life, into my prayer life, into my work life, I become a different person. The engrafting of the word means I have enough word in me that I no longer produce what I used to produce, but I produce what it is written, says now. There's not a person under the sound of my voice, if you're born again, that can't lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But are you willing to risk your reputation by laying those hands? Well, what if I lay hands, they don't get well? Well, you hadn't submitted the Word of God yet. It hadn't become engrafted to you yet. You haven't looked into that mirror until you adjusted this to align with that, because there is no doubt in the Word of God. There is doubt in approaching the Word of God. But when you're in the Word and the Word is in you, doubt doesn't play a part. For a lot of years, going on 38 years, I have talked to you about the Word of God. If I have another 38 years, I'll still be talking to you about the Word of God. Because the Word is paramount to changing you. And there are little verses like looking into the mirror of the Word that we misinterpret and don't understand because we try and spiritualize it. No, it's practical. Just like you, when you look in the mirror, natural mirror in the morning, you want to change the image that you're getting. So you shave, well, masculine. Men shave and ladies wish their guy did. You shave, you comb your hair, you brush your teeth, you adjust your clothes because you want to present the best image of you you can. Otherwise, you just crawl out of bed and go to work unkept. And God said it's the same way with this. Look into this mirror and change yourself to align with what it says, and you'll heal the sick, you'll raise the dead, you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues, you'll change the world, you'll establish the kingdom. But until I begin to treat this new covenant like a mirror, I won't see me in it. Some decades ago, 3 or 4 decades ago, I was reading the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And God said, "Can you see yourself in it?" And I was like, "What?" I wasn't there. He said, "When you can see yourself in that crowd of people welcoming me into Jerusalem, then you can receive the benefits of my coming." He took me over to the pool at Bethesda, and he said, "Can you see yourself standing there watching the lame man raised up from the pool?" And he did this with several things, and I said, "Okay, I get it. You're teaching me something. You want me to see me in here. Because if I can see me in here, then in those things, they become alive to me. When they become alive to me, I'm a part of them. I learned that I can meditate and I can see myself in that crowd, and I see my Redeemer coming in on a donkey and then throwing down palm leaves for him to trot on. I've seen myself standing by the pool of Bethesda and watch him come and say, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And it becomes real when you can see yourself in that, and you're no longer reading words on a page. You're receiving those words as a life flow. You become engrafted to it. Well, Pastor, I don't think visualization is of God. Then you haven't read your Bible. Because if he said, if you can see yourself that way, you can be that way. I don't have a Bible because that's what Christians have. I have a Bible because it's my introduction to God. It's my information on what God said belongs to me. It is the words that will change me from what I was to what I can be. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I grew up in a religious dogma that said, yes, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and keep that in your heart and you won't. That's not what David was saying. When David was facing Goliath, he had the word hidden in his heart. And he didn't sin against God through unbelief, because that's the only sin God really deals with. Unbelief. Because he'd hidden the word of God in his heart, when he was faced with Goliath, he said, "It is written. I have a covenant. And that uncircumcised Philistine doesn't have a covenant. And my covenant says I win." And he didn't sin against God through unbelief, but he took on Goliath. And he entered a battle that in the natural he could not win. But in the word he could triumph. I'm going to tell you that you're going to have a Goliath of your own. It may be mental, spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, marital. You're going to have a Goliath of your own. And if you've hidden the word of God in your heart, you won't sin through unbelief. You'll speak the word only, and Goliath will fall. If not, you'll be devoured by that Goliath. Because only the word of God stands between you and defeat. Only the word of God stands between you and death, you and sickness, you and bondage, you in debt. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Because when Goliath comes up, this tells me what to say. Because there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life in God. And by activating those promises, I become a partaker of the divine nature. I speak the word and expect Goliath to fall. Yes. Church, I've delivered God's word to you. His word will keep you. His word will preserve you. His word will exalt you and lift you up. His word will make you rich. His word will cause you to experience freedom that you've never known before. The word in your heart goes beyond conscious decisions. Brother Damon and Brother Brian shared with me that when I was in the hospital in a coma, unable to do anything. And they would come in and sit by my bedside and read the Word of God to me. And they told me, we would say then, rise up, O man of God, and in your coma you would try and sit up in the bed. Do you hear what I'm saying? The word was in me to the point that when I was unconscious, in paralysis, in a coma, unable to move, my spirit man responded to the word of God to the point I tried to sit up. You cannot convince me that the Word of God is not more powerful than any situation in life. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin against thee by responding improperly. Church, get past the religious garbage. God's not concerned about smoking and drinking and cussing and all of those things. When you get the word in you, they'll just fall off. But get the word in you. Let it change your way of thinking. Let it separate you from the middle man to become the spiritual man. And nothing shall be impossible for them that believe. Father, we've delivered your word, and your people have heard. And I decree that your word has gone deep into the hearts of everyone who hears. And we are changed and transformed by the hope that is in the anointed Redeemer. Your word is our life, our hope, our strength. It is our answer to every challenge of life. Father, may a new hunger for your word come upon your people. I pray that the eyes of their understanding might be open to see what is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, the fullness of your love, and to embrace you in your fullness, and to walk in you and in your power, so that the word of God is continually in our mouth, and we are changing the world with your word. And the people said, amen. There are ministers available should you desire prayer for anything. They will agree with you, they'll stand with you, they'll pray with you. If you're a visitor today, one of the ministers will be available in the foyer to greet you and to talk with you. You're loved. Go with God.